Welcome to Morning Combos with Ali Sheen.
Welcome to a new season of the Morning Combo podcast. I'm your host, Ali Sheen. And on this episode and the next few episodes, I will answer the question, are Democrats heroes or villains when it pertains to the Black community? To answer the question, we must examine the entire history of their relationship. As pointed out by many of the essays in the 1619 Project, African slaves first entered this country in Virginia in 1619. However, the fact that is often overlooked by some of the essay writers in the 1619 Project and other social justice warriors is the fact that the colonists at that time were under British control. They did not have the power to abolish slavery or the slave trade, even though that's what they tried to do. But anything the colonists did to stop slavery was overruled by King George III. It was not only the colonial leaders that fought against slavery, the religious groups of that time were also abolitionists. This includes the Quakers, Methodists, and Presbyterians. The Pilgrims were also against slavery. Even Georgia's founder banned slavery there. Contrary to today's narrative, America's founders were all pro-slavery individuals, that the United States was founded on slavery. Many of our founders were against slavery. In spite of the efforts of many abolitionists in the colonies, slavery still spread. In 1789, President George Washington abolished slavery in the federal territories, hoping to stymie the spread of slavery by having more non-slavery states that would, he hoped, pressure the slavery states to abandon the barbaric institution of slavery. 3 years later, according to Democrats, their party started in 1792. Democrats were undeniably pro-slavery. This was evident by several actions they took to strengthen slavery's hold on America. It was not the founders that strengthened the hold. And this is the thing where I get upset when critical race theory say they want to tell the real history, but you will leave out important aspects of it. Don't make it that the founders were racist, that the founders of the United States were founded on slavery. It wasn't founded on slavery. Slavery was forced upon us, the country, but it wasn't the foundation of the thing of the country or the founders' intention. All the founders' intention, to be honest, all the founders' intention. It was Democrats and their policies that caused the spread and kept slavery around for as long as it did. In 1820, the Democrats had a majority in Congress and took advantage of it by passing the Missouri Compromise. The Missouri Compromise ended President Washington's law against slavery in federal territories. Democrats ended the so-called Northwest Ordinance, allowing new slaveholding states to enter the Union. But they were not just happy with spreading slavery across America. Democrats, in 1850, signed the Fugitive Slave Act. This forced Northerners to return escaped slaves back to their owners. This also served to stymie white abolitionists by making it a criminal act to aid and abet escaped slaves. And it also put free blacks in jeopardy of being enslaved, because what was the word of a black man when weighed against that of a white man at that time? 4 years later, in 1854, Democrats passed the Kansas-Nebraska Act, which allowed slavery where it had previously been prohibited. Slavery was expanding westward because of the Democrats. And this was the last straw for many within the Democratic Party that were against slavery. And Democrats' insistence on spreading it. In May of 1854, anti-slavery Democrats broke with the party to form the Republican Party. Unfortunately, Republicans lost their first attempt to take the reins from Democrats in 1856. Six of the 9 points included in the Republican Party platform involved civil rights for blacks. Republicans' efforts to end slavery and gain equality for blacks only strengthened Democrats' resolve to keep blacks under subjugation. Democrats never deterred from their racist goals. In fact, a Democrat-controlled Supreme Court in 1857 ruled against Dred Scott, deeming that blacks were nothing more than property. In fact, the Chief Justice of that time, a Democrat, of course, said this regarding the court decision. And I quote, "Blacks had no rights which the white man was bound to respect." He went on to say further, "The Negro might justly and lawfully be reduced to slavery for his benefits." End of quote. Democrats violently upheld their racist agenda. In 1856, one of the leading Republicans, an anti-slavery activist named Senator Charles Sumner, gave a stirring anti-slavery speech. This speech angered Democratic Representative Preston Brooks so much that he left the House of the People and entered the Senate chamber accompanied by two other Democratic representatives that held back by gunpoint anyone that was about to stop what was going to happen. Brooks cowardly attacked Charles Sumner with a thick cane when he wasn't looking and never gave him the opportunity to fight fairly. Sumner unfortunately was stuck in his desk that was welded to the floor. There was nothing that Sumner could do to protect himself. Miraculously, after what seemed like forever, the beating that he was receiving, Sumner was able to free himself from the desk, and Brooks was thankfully pulled off of him. It would take 3 years for Sumner to return to full duty. But Democrats want you to think that January 6th was the worst attack on our democracy. A sitting House of Representative member left the People's House, went to the Senate chamber, and beat another sitting senator. Just because he didn't like what he said.
I'm not sure I understand.
But don't forget about Democrats and what happened on January 6th, because we're going to get back to that later on in this, one of these videos, if not this one, one of the future videos. But getting back to Sumner, when he returned, he came back right where he started, fighting against slavery and for black civil rights. In fact, on his dying bed with Frederick Douglass by his side, he begged that they don't let his baby die, which was civil rights legislation. In 1875, a watered-down version of his bill was passed in his honor. The victory would be short-lived because it was struck down by a Republican-controlled Supreme Court. And while we're on the topic of this, Republicans, for the most part, have always been in the corner of black people, with the exception of two times. This one, with this Supreme Court decision, even though I understand why, and I'll go on in a minute, but why the Supreme Court made the decision, it wasn't based on race. It wasn't a racist decision. It was an unfortunate decision. They took in a strict interpretation of the Constitution, and I really can't fault them for that, even though I am, this is one of the things that disappointed me about them, the Republican Party. This is one of the two things. The other one was the compromise that they did to get who was it? What president was it? Was it Hayes? I can't even remember right now. I'll get back to it. But that those were the two instances where, one was the Supreme Court decision, I give them credit for it because it was not based on race. It was based on a strict interpretation of the Constitution. But they chose power over completing Reconstruction. They chose the presidency over Reconstruction. Reconstruction ended because the Democrats, when they made the compromise with the Republicans, gave up the presidency and let the Republicans win the presidential race that year. I believe it was 1883. And the agreement was that they end Reconstruction and remove federal troops from the South. And that was, after that, Democrats, Jim Crow laws, all type of discrimination and violence escalated after that. Once Democrats was able to regain power in the South. But back to the decision, the Supreme Court decision. The majority opinion was that the federal government had no authority under the 13th or 14th Amendment to force private sector to force the private sector to serve blacks. The only dissent came from Republican Justice Harlan, whose dissent boiled down to the fact that he felt the other justices were taking a narrow interpretation of the Constitution instead of the spirit in which it was written. It would take another 81 years before Sumner's bill would be law. Sumner was a hero that ought to be taught in school, but is largely ignored because it puts Democrats in a bad light and it makes a hero out of a Republican. So his life and vicious attack are ignored. Many Americans will never know that Democrats were so entrenched in slavery that violence was the only way they believed they could save it. In 1860, Republicans running in opposition to the Dred Scott decision and Democrats' recent expansion of slavery chose Abraham Lincoln to represent their party, and he wound up winning the election. And Republicans also won a majority in Congress. It is still debated by some if Lincoln was racist. To me, what was most important is the results of his actions and not what was in his heart. We know that securing the Union was of utmost importance to him. In fact, prior to the Emancipation Proclamation going into effect, he offered the South the ability to extend slavery for another 40 years if it would prevent secession. We'll never know what was in his heart with any certainty, but we do know that he did bring about the end of slavery. He did sign the Emancipation Proclamation. He did begrudgingly go to war, and he did sign, even though it wasn't required, the 13th Amendment. His actions were a benefit, not a hindrance to black, and for that I thank him. Republicans may have been racist in history. I'm not going to say that there have never been a racist Republican, but their personal beliefs rarely interfered with them standing up for the Constitution and the tenets of Christianity and for black civil rights by denouncing slavery and seeking equality for blacks. In the history of the Republican Party, like I said, there were only two instances where I believe the Republican Party let us down, and that was with the Supreme Court decision and the Great Compromise. Now you can contrast that with the entire existence of the Democratic Party exacerbating the black condition. Whether it was their opposition to the 13th and 14th Amendment or the nearly dozen civil rights bills created by Republicans the majority of the time that they fought against. While Democrats have done everything possible to stymie black progress, it cannot be forgotten that supporting black civil rights and the abolishment of slavery was not the political slam dunk that it would be today. It was risky for Republicans to hitch their will to blacks. But Republicans did it anyway, because it was the right thing to do, even if it did cost them votes, which it did in the 1856 election, but brought them victory 4 years later. The Union victory brought about Reconstruction, and for the first time, blacks were voting and being elected to office en masse. Democrats were not happy with this. Blacks having political power over them was something they refused to accept. It was then that the angry, racist Democrat constituents formed a gang, a terrorist group, if you will, with the express purpose of stymieing black progress and returning control of the Southern Democratic legislators back to the Democrats. The name of this new terrorist organization was the Ku Klux Klan, of course. The KKK was undoubtedly the enforcement arm of the Democratic Party. The KKK attacked both black and white Republicans. Their intent was to restore Democrats in power. This was done through intimidation, violence, and black voter suppression. Republicans in Congress sought to curtail Democrats' violent attacks by imposing legislation to punish the guilty. Republican Congressman Joseph Haynes Rainey and Richard King both knew of the cause and the remedy to end the violence against blacks by Democrats. In 1871, we find Representative Joseph Haynes Rainey, a former slave from South Carolina, who was the first black man to serve in the House of Representatives and briefly served as Speaker of the House. Just 6 years removed from the end of the Civil War, he said this in his speech on the Civil Rights Act of 1871, and I quote, "If the Negroes, numbering 1/8 of the population of these United States, would only cast their votes in the interest of the Democratic Party, all open measures against them would immediately be suspended and their rights as American citizens recognized," end quote. Another prominent black representative, Richard Kane, said, "The bad blood of the South comes from the Negroes because the Negroes are Republican. If the Negroes would cease being Republican and vote the straight Democratic ticket, there would be no trouble. Then the bad blood would sink out of sight," end quote. Both representatives, Rainey and Kane, were 100% correct. Between the presidencies of FDR and LBJ, the Democratic Party began to chip away at the Republican base of black voters. Blacks initially supported the Democratic Party during the FDR administration, and it wasn't a surprise why they did so. The Great Depression hit Americans hard, none harder than the blacks, who at this time was living under systemic racism. Not now, but then they were actual explicit laws on the books discriminating against them. So the New Deal policies would have been seen as a ray of hope in the black community, a hope that would be partially dashed because many of the New Deal programs blacks were excluded from or severely underrepresented in. Yet and still, blacks began more and more to vote Democrat. Now, Democrats might be evil, racist tyrants, but they're not stupid. They realized they could get the black vote and capitalize on it. The American people were becoming less racist in the 60s. The amount of white Americans supporting civil rights legislations increased, which was evident, if you even think about it, by the whole idea of pricking the conscience of society with, you know, Martin Luther King. His aim was to prick the conscience of the people, for them to show the country what blacks were going through. If the whole country was racist, what heart was they trying to prick? The support for civil rights legislation for blacks has always been there amongst the people. It was the politicians who kept wanted to keep the, and when we say the politicians, to be exact, the Democrats who wanted to keep the blacks in subjugation. America was ready to get over race. Democrats wasn't. They wasn't then, and they don't now. As pointed out by Representative Rainey and Kane, once Democrats had the black vote, they finally, after a century since the ending of slavery, decided to support black civil rights legislation. And President Lyndon Johnson is reported to have said, "I'll have these niggers voting Democrat for 200 years. This statement is not surprising for a man who never met a racist he didn't like. He called civil rights bills nigger bills. An FBI agent once said he was more than likely in the KKK. He frequently used the word nigger, and once asked his chauffeur, what would you rather be called, boy, chief, or nigger? And when he replied that he'd rather be called by his name, LBJ said, as long as you're black and you're going to be black to the day you die, no one's going to call you by your goddamn name. So no matter what you're called, nigger, just let it roll off your back like water and you'll make it. Just pretend you're a goddamn piece of furniture." And that's the man, the leader of the Democratic Party at that time. We're supposed to believe that he and his party cared about blacks. The KKK, whose founders were all Democrats, wanted to compel, by whatever means necessary, blacks into voting Democrat and keeping blacks impoverished, dependent, and doing the labor they didn't want to do. Prior to Democrats embracing the black community, they were the major stumbling block in front of black progress. But in spite of them, blacks were making major strides since the end of slavery. The black poverty rate fell from 87% in 1940 to 47% in 1960. And this is with no welfare state. Just hardworking black Americans doing what Democrats call racist today, and that's pulling themselves up by their bootstraps because they had no choice. You don't work, you don't eat. Starvation is a major incentive to work. And we built that work ethic at a young age. Black teen employment rate was equal to and at times higher than that of white teens. If blacks had maintained the momentum we had, by the time the 80s would have rolled around, we should have been had a poverty rate equal to whites. But Democrats started to help us in the 60s. LBJ's war on poverty slowed down in some ways, completely erased the gains we had made as a race. Once the welfare state was born, we lost sight of our goals. One generation of the welfare state did what centuries of slavery and discrimination couldn't do. The American dream became a fantasy, and for many of us, the ghetto became our reality. In my opinion, the welfare was meant to be a trap. Democrats got what they always wanted, a poor, loyal, dependent base that's constantly expanding and voting Democrat. That's why Democrats love expanding the welfare rolls. That's one of the many reasons that I dislike Barack Obama and his whole presidency. He was proud of the fact that he added 30 million more people to public assistance. That to me is a disgrace. The goal of any leader should never be to increase the amount of people on government assistance, the amount of people in poverty. Only a heartless tyrant will rejoice at increasing the amount of people dependent on the government. When you look at all the U.S. cities with large black populations, you see the influence of James Curley. James Michael Curley was a four-time mayor of Boston who would, stop me if you heard this before, would redistribute the money from the wealthy and give it to the poor. The poor, in this case, being Curley's Irish constituents. He also shared the wealth with union bosses and businesses through tax cuts that supported him, impoverishing his constituents with his policies, while at the same time being perceived by those same constituents as the good guy, the hero, well, the Irish ones at least. This is exactly how it is in black communities today. No matter how many times Democrats screw them over, blacks continue to support the Democratic Party. No matter how bad Chicago gets, Atlanta gets, Newark gets, St. Louis gets, Detroit gets, blacks still seem to support them. And I do not get it. When you're in these towns like Baltimore and stuff, that doesn't even, when you talk about Republicans, Republicans mean nothing there. Republicans have no power there. So there's no one to blame for the poverty, the poor schools, the urban blight, the crime. All of that is Democrats' fault. But every year, they'll tell you, the Republican trying to tell you, I want to stop this. This is not the way to live. And they call them racist. The Democrats tell you they're racist. While they keep you in the slums. And always shits on the one that try to bring you out. Donald Trump, prior to COVID, had the black unemployment rate at all-time low, historic lows. More blacks working than ever before under President Trump. Black wealth, after dropping under 7 of the 8 years of Obama's administration, black wealth was rising under Barack Obama. First president in modern era to tackle criminal justice reform, and he wasn't a Democrat. The Republicans, who are known to be tough on crime, and as they should be, was fixing the mess that was started by Reagan, to be honest, and exacerbated by Clinton and Bush. But Donald Trump started fixing that. He also had the opportunity zone to invest in the black neighborhoods. All these positive things was more than anything the Democrats ever did for you. Unless you count putting more of you in poverty. Unless you count giving you little handouts, little cheese, giving you the crumbs off the table. If you're proud of that, good for you. You're an idiot. But back to Mayor Curley. Mayor Curley was the one seen by the poor Irish, orphaning jobs, building a hospital, and offering social services. He also used the higher taxes on the rich and anti-rich rhetoric. Does that sound familiar? To force the emigration of opposition in his electorate. So looking at black communities, you see shades of the Curley effect. The only difference is that Curley wanted to shape the electorate for himself. Democrats today do it for the benefit of the party, not an individual man. That's why Democrats got rid of the visible party bosses. James Curley's strategy for shaping the electorate in his favor, even to the detriment of the people of his own racial or ethnic community, was perfected by Coleman Young in Detroit. In his 20 years, running Detroit, he saw the black population grow from 47% to 75%. While whites in Detroit escaped Detroit altogether because many of them felt discriminated. His policies indirectly or directly targeted the white electorate that overwhelmingly voted against him. This can't be a coincidence. While Coleman turned Detroit into a so-called black utopia, the black electorate there was suffering. And I'm not blaming all of Detroit's decline on just Mae Young. Detroit's decline is the result of many black leaders caring more about their pockets than the electorate, than the black people. When we say the electorate there, we're talking about the black people there. The question about if blacks having power would improve the lives of other blacks, the answer is a resounding no. Look at Ferguson and Baltimore, where it hasn't. Black politicians are no different than the white ones. To quote Thomas Sowell, the first goal of a politician is to get is election. Their second goal is re-election. Whatever comes next is a distant third. Besides maintaining control over blacks by keeping the poor and dependent, Democrats also have another racist reason to do so. Heeding the words of LBJ, who said, if you can convince, and I quote, if you can convince the lowest white man he's better than the best color man, he won't notice you're picking his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on and he'll empty his pockets for you, end quote. So that's Democrats' other reason to keep the image of blacks as helpless victims. This is how Democrats appeal to racists. It's their dog whistle, or one of their dog whistles, if you will. They like talking about the Southern strategy of Republicans. They constantly bring up Lee Atwater's misinterpreted quote. Democrats still today take his interview out of context to label Republicans with racism. In the interview, he said, and I quote, in 1994, you start out in 1954 saying nigger, nigger, nigger. By 1968, you can't say nigger. That hurt you. It backfired. So you say stuff like forced busing, state rights, and all that stuff. And you're getting so abstract now. Now you're talking about cutting taxes. And all these things you're talking about are totally economic things, and the byproduct of them is blacks get hurt worse than whites. End quote. This is where most quotes used by liberals stop, to make the comment appear worse than what it was. The omitted part, Atwater says, and I quote, subconscious may be part of it. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that it's getting that abstract and that coded that we're doing away with the racial problem one way or another. You follow me? We want to cut this, and this is much more abstract than even the busing thing, and a hell of a lot more abstract than nigger, 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 end quote. He was stating that fact. No one from any party was going to win a statewide or national election talking about nigger this and nigger that. And if you're not going to win elections by saying nigger this and nigger that, like Democrats were, you act like this wasn't Republicans' campaign speeches. These were always the racist speeches always came from Democrats. Those were Democrat speeches. So what he was saying, which was true, you can't go out saying nigga this, you can't go out saying nigga that. So you have to appeal to voters, the voters, what the voters want. And what did the Southern voters care about? They didn't care about anything the Democrats were selling at that time. I had lost my train of thought. The largest voting bloc in the South were white blue-collar voters. Their biggest concern was the economy and national defense. So things like defense and lower taxes will get you to vote votes that overt racism wouldn't. Let's be clear. Democrats never, ever stop campaigning for Southern votes. Why are they not accused of wanting racist votes? Their policies like welfare, the Biden crime bill, school zoning laws, affirmative action, just to name a few, adversely affected blacks. Are they appealing to racist white voters? when they advocated for these policies that hurt blacks? Especially now that enough time has passed to see the failure of the Great Society. The racist LBJ's war of poverty, which really was a war on the black family. Democrats ignored Lee Atwater stating several times in that interview that race was no longer a factor in Southern politics. They had to forget about that. They had to omit it so they could build this false narrative about what he said. Both Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton won the South in their victories. Carter preached physical conservatism, as did Clinton, with a tough on crime message. With the increase in blacks incarcerated and the building of state jails, were Democrats appealing to racist whites in their respective campaigns? Keep in mind, Bill Clinton had paraded a bunch of black inmates on stage when he was talking about his crime bill. Was he showing white America that I got these niggas in control? I believe he was. But no one ever called him racist for that. No one ever said that, oh, he's appealing. Those are dog whistles. If he had been Republican, they would have came out and said that. But like always, it's a different standard. It's one standard for Democrats. It's one standard for Republicans. It wasn't until the 80s with Reagan that Democrats started losing the South. And it wasn't until the 2000s that Republicans consistently maintained control of the South. According to the left, when Democrats win the South, they ran a great campaign. When Republicans do it, it's racist. It's ridiculous. Almost as ridiculous as the whole party switch. How convenient it would be that if all the racists that were in the Democratic Party up and left and went to the Republican Party. It's a thing of fiction, but that pernicious lie still remains. I spent the other day, almost a whole day on Twitter, arguing with idiots who was trying to tell me, and the one thing I always ask, then show me this. Show me this where in mass a whole bunch of Democrats left to go to the Republican Party. I know of two. And that left a whole lot of racists in the Democratic Party. Even though that doesn't even make sense. Unless there was some gerrymandering going on, there would be no reason for a Democrat who, obviously, because we've seen that the voters still voted Democrat in those southern states. They were still voting Democrat. So why would a Democrat leave the Democratic Party when their constituents is still voting for the Democratic Party? Why go to the party where you're not going to win it? It makes no sense. It makes sense to people who are delusional. The Democrats want it to make sense because then it explains and excuses their racism. Aunt Jemima has to give her account. Thomas Jefferson's statue has to give her account. But the Democratic Party never has to give an account of what they did to black people. They're always at the forefront of blaming others and pointing the fingers at others, but never at themselves. And you stupid blacks allow them to do that. You stupid blacks, the blacks that vote for them. Actions always speak louder than words. Democrats' mouths say they want black success, but their actions say they want subjugation. And that's always how it's been with them. It's never been no different with them. In one of Malcolm X's speeches, he asks, "Who are you?" Most blacks, because of slavery, really couldn't answer that question. Where we come from in our culture is lost to many of us. Democrats, through critical race theory and anti-marriage policies, want to destroy the nuclear family, especially in the black community. Africa is a continent full of diverse ethnicities. But the importance of family is a trait that many pre- and post-colonial nations shared in Africa. Unlike in European and later and U.S. countries, African women were seen as equal to their male counterparts. There were many African queens that ruled alone. Women could own property. Their opinion was valued. They can even lead over men. Fathers and father figures were essential to many African cultures. If the father died, it was common in many African cultures for the brother or other male member of the family to assume the deceased kin's place in the family. So you could imagine when slave owners would separate a family, the impact on the psyche of the slaves, of a mother and father who feared they would never see their loved ones again. And let's be clear in my Kamala voice, many of them never did see their family again. For over a century, even in slavery, we were still marrying and procreate, but under the fear that at the whim of our masters, our family, could be ripped away from us. And for a parent, that must be unbearable, especially because there was nothing they could do about it. That is why when slavery ended, many blacks sought to reunite with the family stolen from them and protected even more the family they would have. This is why I take issue with civil rights activists and feminists that ignore the real problem. A problem they knew or should have known would splinter into a bigger issue if left unchecked. Issues like unemployment, the rise in crime and poverty, poor performance in school, teen pregnancy, just to name a few. And both, in my opinion, were wrong and trying to escape culpability. Blacks weren't forced into lower marriage rates. They chose it. First, black women took on the feminist ideology as if it applied to them. That was a white woman's revolution. For the black woman, she was never the woman behind a man. She was always the woman beside her black man as an equal. They were partners. Black women always have had a voice in the black home. Family was always important to us, whether in Africa or here in bondage. They succeeded in breaking up families, but not our desire, not the desire for or the spirit of family, rather. And now we are willing to throw that away. Welfare gave black women who believed that they didn't need no man the ability to provide, no matter how meager, gave them a way to provide without a man. And no, it's not women fall alone for the large number of single black women on welfare or having children out of wedlock. Black men share this responsibility as well. Black men today see procreation as a status symbol or rite of passage, instead of the incredible responsibility of protecting and preparing your child for a life without you, providing for that family that you created. Marriage was something that if you knocked up a girl, it was expected of you. Divorce used to be a rarity in the black community. The cultural revolution of the United States went through in the 60s did not help the black community. Conservative values is something that the black family always had here or in Africa. And the values I'm talking about, so we be clear, family, religion, hard work, those type of things. Values, welfare, and feminism drained from the black community. In March of 1965, a report delivered a message that infuriated so many people, it required its messenger to become the first person to be canceled. The report, The Negro Family, The Case for National Action, the messenger and first canceled person, Patrick Moynihan, who spent 14 years in the Senate, but at the time of the report was working as Labor Secretary under LBJ. He devoted much of his time to LBJ's war on poverty. The report correctly stated that the black family was in peril. The rate of blacks born out of wedlock was 25%, a then all-time high. He wrote that the cause of the lowering marriage rate was the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow. Now, anytime you hear legacy of slavery, Jim Crow, think Democrats, because they were the ones that supported those policies. Anybody saying anything else but calling it the legacy of the Democratic Party is being disingenuous, because they were the one who supported those things. If Republicans supported it, it would be a different story, but it was Democrats who supported those things. So if it's a legacy of anything, it's the legacy of Democrat policies. He also noted that the correlation in the increase of blacks on welfare at the same time the marriage rate was dropping. Senator Moynihan knew from experience the toll of not having a father in his home and what it does to a family. For his father abandoned his family when he was a child. Fatherless homes adversely affect all racial groups, though black families have been hit the hardest. The media, Democrats, and even black civil rights leaders were not kind to Moynihan in his report. The timing of the report released didn't do him no favors, because it was released after the Watts riots. He was excoriated in the press. He himself was never actually called a racist, but his report definitely was. His report was often misquoted and misinterpreted. He was attacked by both civil rights activists as well as feminists. The civil rights leaders were offended because they believed his report deemed crime, joblessness as endemic to blacks, which his report did not say. His report never said, and this is, blacks always have to play victim. What he said, and those things, crime and joblessness affected every racial group that had It affected every racial group. The report was just, the report never stated, never implied that it was endemic to blacks, that this is just a solely black problem. What it was addressing is because of the discrimination, the legacy of the Democratic policies, though because of that, blacks were even more affected by the fatherlessness. While ignoring, they ignored the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow, aka Democrats' racism and racist policy. And when it came to feminists, they were offended by the portrayal of single-family women households as the problem in the black community. And like I said, these are all people nitpicking. And for me, it was on purpose. Because if you keep on dividing the issue and ignoring the issue, dividing people up, the bigger issue is ignored. They started pulling us in so many micro positions that the micro situation was lost. Like I said, it's not women's fault alone. It's not only a black problem, but it is a black problem, a problem in the black community. Yes, other groups have it, but why don't we worry about ourselves? Why are we worried about what things are racist? Is it a problem in the black community? Should have been the thing. That should have been the thing. That should have been the question. Is it a problem, and how do we handle it? But Democrats didn't want to handle the problem, because if you handle the problem, then you don't need the Democrats. If we take care of our own, if we get our work ethic back, if we get back our motivation to achieve, if we start achieving, start having success and become the regular in the black community, even in the poorest communities. Start bringing up our poorest communities. If we start doing those things, if we start the behaviors, changing the behaviors, fathers from not being in the home, that is a major problem. Let's stop that, because we know what stems from that, and I'll get to it later. I'm going off on a tangent, so let me get back to it. Both groups' decision to deny and escape culpability just exacerbated the problem. And it's one of the reasons it was never addressed and just worsened during the next 50 years. If a building is set on fire, the thing that is most essential is putting out the fire. Who caused the fire comes second. The fact that the conversation was about who's to blame instead of the declining marriage rate and how it was negatively impacting the black community shows that being woke does more harm than good. Just like with the abortion issue. Once again, black women have adopted a Marxist mindset that is the antithesis of what culturally Africans would have done. The life of a child is precious. And in many African nations, the child is seen as the spirit of a past ancestor being reborn. Ending that life would be abhorrent. Black women in America are 12% of the population, but account for 35% of abortion. Take into account that Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger was a disgusting racist eugenicist that sought the extermination of inferior races, which included blacks. Her Negro Project saw new abortion clinics put in black neighborhoods, as well as hiring blacks to encourage more blacks to participate in, this is my opinion, black genocide. It's no wonder that Hillary Clinton referred to blacks as predators, and she would also admire Margaret Sanger, who sought the extermination of the black race. Democrats are not on your side. They don't care about the issues that affect you. They care about how they can manipulate you to vote for them. That is what Democrats are good at, manipulating you to vote for them. And it's disgusting. And it needs to stop. Democrats don't want nothing good for you. They destroyed the family, so now they're focused on the youth. If you destroy the boy, you break the future man. To achieve this, Democrats put their racist hands all over the educational system. Democrats and unions are yoked together to the detriment of black students. As most people know, children in public school system are placed based on their home address. This forces parents to send their children to bad schools. An education is essential for future success. Without an education, chances of poverty, jail, and death greatly increase. Democrats unsurprisingly care more about the votes that the union may bring them than properly educating black students. Nothing makes this more apparent than their fight against school choice. Parents should be allowed to send their children to whatever school they deem to be best for their kids. Democrats who are beholden to the teachers union, who stand to lose money with new teachers at charter schools when the new teachers are hired at charter schools that are not in the union. Public schools lose money when funding follows the kid to a new charter school. But the children at the charter schools gain a better education based on higher test scores, the lower pregnancy rate for women, and a lower incarceration rate for the men. Instead of successful charter schools, Democrats rather keep blacks in the, black students in the racist public school system. Like in California, where 75% of blacks can't read proficiently. That's what Democrats want. Dummies don't make no money. And if you don't make no money, you'll be dependent on them. In D.C., ran by woke Mayor Bowser, Democrats, of course, had to put a stop to the charter schools. They can't be, one, losing votes, and two, have charter schools successfully educating blacks. An educated black man has never been what Democrats wanted. And especially an education based on a curriculum they don't approve of. If they can't shape black views on the world, no one can. Power is Democrats' only concern, and they're not afraid to uphold policies that negatively impact blacks or create false narratives if it will bring them votes. An example of this is the whole voter suppression bullshit. Voter suppression really means Democrats are likely to lose votes if said action was to occur. Case in point, voter ID. Voter ID prevents dead people who have long been a strong Democratic base from illegally voting, as well as illegal immigrants, underage teens, or people who are legally allowed to vote, stopping them from voting more than once. Democrats, the alleged non-racist party, says that black people can't afford to get IDs, can't get the necessary documents to get those IDs, or even find their local DMV. Yes, the fucking Democrats that said it. It's specifically your president, not mine. Mr. If you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Mr. Black people are not as diverse as Hispanic people. Mr. I wrote the crime bill that filled up the jails with black men. Mr. To black women, he said, it's okay to tell your men no, meaning that those black women are whores and black men are rapists. He also said, the same man that said about Barack Obama, he's the first articulate clean man to run for president. Of course, I'm talking about Jim Crow Joe Biden. Only a racist person would think that blacks are too stupid or poor to get an ID. That's why I was so angry when those Texas Democrats during the summer ran to D.C. They claimed to be fighting so-called voter suppression. They even broke out singing We Shall Overcome, insidiously trying to recreate the spirit of the civil rights movement for their political gain. They were not being discriminated. No one was stopping them or anyone else, black for that matter, from voting. Only cheaters fight laws preventing cheating. Black voter participation has increased, not decreased, over the past few election cycles. So voter suppression of blacks is not happening. Voter suppression is not requiring IDs from blacks. To expect that every other race could get IDs but blacks is not only insulting, but racist as well. Especially when you take into consideration that the ID requirement, you don't even have to always use a physical ID. You can use the last four digits of your social security number as identification. So are blacks unable to remember their socials as well? Democrats always have to play the race card. Can you remember any election where race was not an issue since 1964? The media spits out, white cop kills black stories conveniently during election cycles. And Democrats profit off those news stories by, of course, condemning the death and promising to put a stop to it. Even though everywhere where these black shootings happen where Democrats already have control. Where everybody's talking about this police violence and having these BLM riots and protests, you're protesting things in Democrat neighborhoods. Democrats control those neighborhoods. So that means Democrats control the police department. And if Democrats are going to insist on calling police departments racist, and especially the police departments that they control, and then if the body is racist, the head has to be racist. If the body being the police is racist, then the head being the Democrats that control that city is racist. You sit up there telling them to fund them and disband them. That means they have power over them, idiot. And if they knew all this time that they were a racist, why didn't they stop them? Why didn't they stop them? Why is the only time that it comes up is election season? Why haven't they fixed it yet? Why are we places like Baltimore where half of the department is black or a person of color, rather? Why is it so much problems? They're in leadership. The leadership has people of color. The police department mixed. You got the mayor, the city council, blacks all represented, very well represented, Democrat controlling. Still has police brutality. Still have a racist police department. The Democrats love it. The cycle with the police stories and the things, it just keeps on repeating. Too many people accept that all white police are racist and they target blacks as a fact. Anyone who dares question that narrative is attacked by the left as a racist. And if they're black, they'll be called a coon. In spite of the pushback, it must be critically analyzed by blacks. Democrats claim the police are racist. It's them that claim it. And like I said, look, if we really did run with that theory, Democrats control these cities, many of which they have controlled for decades. The police department's been around for decades, and they're controlled, like I said, through either the mayor's office, the city council, or the city planner office. They have control of the police department. Why are Democrats who control these police departments never considered racist? In the 50s, 40s, 60s and stuff, then during Jim Crow and stuff, the police department and the mayor, the governors, always worked hand in hand with their racism. The Democrats, of course. So why all of a sudden, that the switch happened, all of a sudden, The people in charge have no control over the police. The police are autonomous. Fuck that. You know that's not true. But you believe those stupid things. And then people are always repeating the same things. Like, you'll see a meme where it says, what about, and they'll put all the black people that recently died and stuff by police. And then, but it's like, you do know that that's not all the people that died. And why do the news only show stories of black people dying by white cops? What happened to all the white people that died? What happens to all those white people that died? A lot of white families, a lot of white mothers, more white mothers than black mothers, bury their children every year by police. And that's weird for a racist department to kill more white people. if they targeted blacks, they do a bad job of it. They used to get it right back in the Jim Crow era. They got it right then. All of a sudden, now they got it wrong. They forgot how to target blacks. How stupid could you be? Democrats, if the police department is racist, then the Democrats have to be racist too when they control those places. They control those cities that the police department exists in. That is the only plausible way that the police department is racist. Democrats, if they really were anti-racist and they thought that the police department was racist, they would have dismantled it and rebuilt it in an anti-racist way. But they don't. And that's because, like always, like any fiction writer, you need a bad guy. You need a villain. You need someone for a protagonist to overcome, something for them to overcome. And that's why they leave them. The police department is used as a scapegoat, someone for them to, a punching bag for them, someone to take the blows and they can use. In reality, we know that the police department as a whole is not racist. They have, of course, racist cops. Racist people exist. No one doubts that. But the police are not targeting blacks. Like I said, more whites are killed every year. More whites are killed every year by cops than black. That is a fact. That's not even up for debate. And no, it's not because there are more whites. That is a stupid, stupid thing to say. There are more whites, yet blacks lead the nation in violent crimes, including murder. If that theory of yours, because it's more whites, that's why there's more of them getting killed, then there should be more of them committing every crime. Everything. They should be overrepresented in everything, if their population means anything. Criminality is a behavior flaw. It is something, it's not something that a fixed number of each race is going to do. And it's so stupid when people say that, because that's the only way that they explain it. That's why they use the rate percentages instead of raw numbers. When you look at the raw numbers, it sounds stupid. When you look at the raw numbers, you can't make the argument that police are attacking blacks. So you say, oh, but they have a higher rate. But that same higher rate is just as disingenuous as it is to say that blacks are being hunted by cops because of the higher rate, is just as disingenuous to say that police are 10 times or whatever number it is more likely to be killed by a black using percentage. When you look at the raw numbers, looking at the raw numbers, just like it does, like I tell people to do, when you compare whites to blacks, you'll have blacks maybe 55, whites at 200 something or 100 something, and that's the difference between the two. But they want to go by percentage. When you look at 55 and you look at the number 200, you see there's a big difference between the amounts that were killed. Same thing when you look at the police. The same year that 55 blacks had got killed by police, 10 cops had got killed by blacks. But it will come out with a higher rate because they're more black. Because there's more black and less cops, there's a higher rate between the two. When they compare them, it's a higher rate. So it appears as if blacks are, cops are more likely, has a greater chance of being killed by a black person. But when you look at the raw numbers, more blacks get killed every year by cops than cops get killed by blacks. That's why I like raw numbers. Neither one of them is being targeted by the other. There's no such thing as blacks. Cops are not targeting black. Blacks are not targeting cops. That's why I like raw numbers. Percentages could be manipulated. Numbers could be manipulated. Blacks, not whites, are number one when it comes to victimizing other races, which is surprising that in a country that's supposedly ran by white supremacists and whites having white privilege, somehow that white privilege doesn't prevent them from being killed the most by cops, victimized by blacks, have the most people on welfare, yet are called inherently racist, can't speak out without fear of losing employment or being harassed or victim of Antifa or Black Lives Matter violence. This is crazy. All of these things that white people have to go through. And white people go through. And they're supposed to be the top of the food chain. They're supposed to be in control of everything. The white supremacists. Democrats, the party that has spent only the last 6 years not calling you a nigger to your face, and spent the prior 150 years before that inflicting every cruel, demoralizing atrocity against you. They want to be now the arbiter of what is racist and what's not, and completely erase their history. Critical race theory does not want to tell the real history. And that's another annoying thing that I hate, that they talk about real history. And they'll put something that, you know, the first kids that when the black children that was escorted in by the National Guard to school, they'll put that and they'll show that and say, this is the history they don't want to tell you. That's not the history that nobody has no problem. That's already told. They act like that's not even told. That story's already told. That is told in school. It's not like that's what's not going to be told. What they want to do is to reinterpret, to reimagine, to tell a version, to interpret history. Not retell history, but interpret history. They want to change facts to make the 1619 Project, to show that the world, they can't prove the world, it's their opinion that America was founded on racism. That's their opinion. It's not a fact. It's a lot of evidence to suggest that that's not true. But they will say that, and that's what they want to do. They want to rewrite history, not tell them what actually happened. And then they want to omit stuff. Because, like I said, even if you check that story of them, they're not going to talk about it with Democrats that were preventing integration. They're not going to talk about that. Yes, it was Republicans that did too. That, but for the most part, Republicans were for integration. For the most part, the majority of them, over 90% of them, it was the Democrats who were staunchly against it. The majority of them. So critical race theory does not want to tell the real history. It's an attempt for Democrats to rewrite their history and corrupt young minds with their divisive rewriting of history. To them, black history is nothing more than slavery, Jim Crow, and the 64 crime civil rights bill. End of story. That is the black experience to them. They don't want to tell real history. They don't want to talk about the Democrats' legacy of slavery. They don't want to talk about how Democrats upheld slavery, how they created the black codes and Jim Crow. No, they want to call them racist politicians, white supremacists. Those general names, instead of getting specifically who they were. It was Democrats that were lynching blacks and their white nigga lovers. They don't want to talk about that. Critical race theory is not going to talk about that. They want to talk about racist white people from the past that fought to spread white supremacy as if it wasn't the Democratic Party. The DNC has been around for almost 2 centuries. If a Jefferson statue has to come down because he has slaves, where is the black rage toward the organization that still exists that oppressed blacks for over a century? Shit, where is the Democrats, our alleged champion, desire to take responsibility for their past racism and make amends in forms of reparation, paid for by the DNC, of course, and not taxpayers. They, of course, won't do that because fuck niggas. They have most blacks believing that all the racists in their party magically went to the Republican Party. The party that opposed them since their creation. And like with most things, this lie is still believed with no proof that stands to scrutiny. So they attack all with the intestinal fortitude to challenge that pernicious lie. They attack them. They defame them. We have to stop letting Democrats, through their propaganda wing, the fake news media, be the authors of our story. Because as Malcolm X said, and I quote, "The media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent. And that's power. Because they control the minds of the masses." I'm going to end on that quote. I've been a lot longer than I wanted to. This should have been like 2 videos. But I hope to see you in the next video where I'll discuss the hypocrisy of Democrats and the media's 1-6 narrative. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for watching my podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Radio Public, and anywhere else podcasts are found. Like my page, Ali Sheen's Playground on Facebook. Follow me on Instagram, AliSheen_Playground_, and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Ali Sheen's Playground. Let me know your opinion on this episode and any other episode. Till next time, enjoy your day.